Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
We have a two-topic, big deal, no big deal, coming up in 20 minutes from now, so don't go anywhere. But joining us right now, on the Harbor One Hotline from Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix off the Celtics win in Game 4 last night. Chris, what's going on?
What's happening, guys?
All right, so it can't be gray area. It's sports talk radio, Chris. So it's only one or the other. You can only pick one. Was last night more about the Celtics and their defensive effort or just an awful offensive night for the Miami Heat?
Oh, it was about Boston. I think the Celtics are the better team in this series. About it going in, even tied at two, I think they're the better team. You go back to Game 3, the reason they lost wasn't really anything Miami did. It was sloppiness. 24 turnovers, 29 deflections. They coughed up the ball. You go back to Game 1, just one of the most abysmal third quarters we've ever seen. Now, Miami has something to do with both those things, but that's as much about Boston's lack of focus and, lack of intensity, whatever you want to call it, than anything Miami did. And look, the wild card in everything moving forward is health. Yep. That's paramount to everything in this series. But, if both teams are close to full strength, I think Boston is the better team. I have thought about that all along, and I continue to think that way now.
So when you look at when you look at the first quarter alone, obviously very impressed with the 18-1 deficit. But I just feel like it should have been worse, Chris. I'm looking at this first quarter. I'm going, really, are we really going to be bragging about 18% from three, 75% from the free throw line, 9 of 22 from the field? Like, everyone's giving them a lot of credit for running away with that first quarter, but a lot of it had to do with how sloppy the Heat played.
It did. When I watched Jimmy Butler in the aftermath of that knee injury, he's not the same player. He's kind of gutting it out there and being tentative, looking to pass more in that last game than I've seen him pass during this series. So that has something to do with it. Kyle Lowry still isn't 100% either out there, playing out with that hamstring injury. But yeah, look, they could have been better offensively, but I love what I saw from Derek White, who had been abysmal in the first couple of games of this series. He comes out 10 points in 12 minutes, plays great defense in that first quarter, which really was the game, frankly. Miami really never got close enough to make it close. It wasn't a flawless first quarter, and offensively they have some cleaning up to do, but you look at the way White played and you hope that can carry over. Jason Tatum, in these moments, seems to take his game to another level. Jaylen Brown wasn't as sloppy with the basketball as he was in Game 3. So there are some positives offensively to build around. But defensively, they're going to be able to play like that all series. They just are. They're a great defensive team. And if Robert Williams can play, if Smart can play, they'll continue to be.
Chris, the Heat's Bam Adebayo, he had such a breakout game in that Game 3. What adjustments did you see the Celtics make in Game 4 to just totally neutralize him?
Well, they were more physical, but I thought Miami missed some easy shots. Like, that rim had a lid on it in that first quarter where they were getting kind of some point-blank shots and nothing was going down. But, Robert Williams being out there is just huge. And if you're able to play a three-man big rotation of Robert Williams, Al Horford, and Grant Williams, that's just as good as it gets in today's NBA, especially defensively. You don't have to worry about kind of plugging in Daniel Tice and crossing your fingers that he can be effective physically against a physical player like Adebayo. Rob Williams, Grant Williams, Al Horford are going to be able to bang with Adebayo. So I thought that having their front court rotation intact in Game 4 was a big difference.
Chris Mannix joining us here on the Harbor One Hotline. Chris, what is your theory as to why this team, through the playoffs at least so far, they played their best games when the back's been against the wall and when they've had leads or a chance to really finish teams off? Like, that's when they play their worst games. Is it immaturity? Is it Makeup, how do you figure where it's been like they fall behind and that's when they play their best hoop?
Well, I think why they cough up leads is that sometimes they go into the basketball equivalent of the prevent defense in the second halves of these games where you don't see them executing in the same way as you do with what got them there, right? Like they, you know, when they look their sharpest, they're moving the ball around. They're not just milking the shot clock. And that's what happens with the Celtics team when they get up in games. Yeah, as far as backs against the wall, I credit Jason Tatum for a lot of that. I mean, you look at the games he's played after losses in this postseason. Three games against Milwaukee, he totaled 105 points in those three games. This game against Miami, game four, he had, 31 points, gets the free throw line 16 times, just takes over the game really from the opening minutes and controls it offensively. And when your best player is able to do that, you're going to win a lot of games in the NBA. There's a reason that when you look at how playoff series play out, 90-plus percent of the time, the team with the best player often wins. And in this series, it's Jason Tatum. And when he's been able to shoulder the load offensively, that's when the Celtics team is the most successful.
Chris, how worried should we be about the consistent availability of one Rob Williams?
Really worried. I mean, I watched him play a terrific first half, an excellent first 6 minutes of the third, and then in those final minutes, he's kind of dragging that left leg around, eventually goes back into the locker room, you know, gets something wrapped on, and fortunately the Celtics didn't need him the rest of the way, but there's been an enormous unpredictability with Robert Williams to the point where, you know, it's Monday morning quarterbacking for sure, but you look back and you wonder, why did he come back so soon from that knee injury? Why was he back in the lineup when the Celtics were up 2-0 against Brooklyn, and back in when he came back for game three of that series? You wish they could have milked that time off a little bit longer, and maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't be dealing with the problems that Robert Williams is dealing with right now. But it really is just a question of pain tolerance and how big that knee swells up overnight. Now, flying, of course, is not good for it, absolutely. So I wonder what it's going to look like when that team touched down in Miami, but there's no way to predict if he's going to play, what kind of condition he's going to be in until you get close to tip off.
While we're asking about injuries, gotta hit on Marcus Smart. What do you think the future holds for him in this series? And you know, if the Celtics advance beyond this series, how big of a piece is Marcus Smart in whatever they do, especially defensively? And have you heard anything about around that injury?
Well, he was dragging that ankle around when he got to the Garden on Monday night, and that obviously not a good sign. Marcus has proven in his career in Boston that he's able to play through a tremendous amount of pain. But if you have an ankle injury and it's swelled up the way the Celtics have said it's swelled up and it's preventing you from even walking with a normal gait, that's just tough. That's tough to get out there and play, especially when you're going up against a physical team and a player like Kyle Lowry or being forced to defend someone like Jimmy Butler. It's asking a lot. Now, you know, Marcus has not missed, I don't think, multiple games in a row in this postseason. So I think he's at least got a chance to go out and play in game five. But I think the bigger thing is, will the Celtics be able to duplicate what they got out of Derek White? I mean, Derek White, I can't underscore enough, he was so valuable in that game. I think he had the first 7 points for the Celtics, finished with 10 overall, got a couple of assists, a couple of steals, took a charge, played great defense. If Derek White's able to be that guy for the Celtics, you know, it certainly mitigates the loss of Marcus Smart. But if you get the Derek White and Peyton Pritchard of game three, where they combine for 3 points and one field goal made, you could be in a lot of trouble very quickly because that bench is not deep at the guard spot.
Chris, last one for me. I'm with you. I think the Celtics are the better team. I think that's going to bear out. You know, assuming the health is what we think it might be on the next couple of games, they're going to eventually win this series. Do you feel like it's the Celtics taking two out of the next three and getting to the finals?
I do. I think they, and again, if they go down to Miami and Robert Williams and Marcus Smart don't play, I reserve the right to change my prediction entirely. But if one or both of those two guys play, I think they win. I mean, I don't think they'll have another clunker like they did in that game one third quarter. I don't believe they'll be as careless with the basketball as they were in game three. And, you know, if either one of those games goes a different way, we could be talking about the Celtics pushing Miami to the brink of elimination right now. I just, you know, Miami's firepower is suspect. I don't know what Tyler Hero's status is going to be, but you could see without Tyler Hero out there, they were really missing something offensively, especially with Butler kind of limping and not moving as well as he usually does because of that knee injury. They were, I mean, they went to Duncan Robinson early. That is the ultimate break glass in case of emergency guy with Miami, because they haven't used him much, if at all, in many of the games this postseason. So if Tyler Hero once again can't go, that's another reason to really like Boston to close out this series.
Okay, so last one for me, because, you know, with that being said, I saw this quote from Spoelstra when he said, quote, "Whatever they have done to us, we can do to them." Is that just some gamesmanship, or is he just, you know, like doing the whole whistling, you know, past the graveyard thing? Because it feels like they're done.
Because they have done it to them. Like, I mean, like, I get what he's saying. You know, they did out-physical Boston in game one. That's what led to that 37-14 surge in the third quarter. They did force a lot of those turnovers in game three. So they've got to be confident that they can go back home with two of potentially the next three in Miami and win this series. So I get what he's saying. It's not game one anymore. You know, Jimmy Butler's not the same guy. Tyler Hero is out for that team. The firepower is lacking. Max Strus was neutralized last night. He's been a big part of what they do. They're just so frail and limited offensively. Like, they can get it done defensively, grind out wins, but in this condition, they need Butler to go for like 35-40, and I'm not sure he can do that in his current state of health. They need Kyle Lowry to have 30-point games. I'm not sure he can do that in his current state of health and against this Celtics defense. Just, I would say this, a lot more needs to go right for Miami to win the series than for Boston. That's kind of how I'd boil it down.
Chris, great stuff, man. We certainly appreciate it. Looking forward to Game 5 tomorrow back in Miami and the coverage at SI and NBC Sports Boston. Thank you, bud.
You got it, guys.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.